Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is November the 8th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's awesome wherever you are at. Got up this morning. Actually had to work. Came into the salon, did a couple clients. Then I had to go over and help out the paddle guys. They are back from Miami, which is awesome. Glad they had a safe trip. Had a lot of fun. Had to go over and try to flip some boats. Did that, and now I got nothing to do. I thought, well, maybe I'll go do a podcast and see what's happening, see what pours out of my small little brain. You know, I shared the other day, you know, about that lady. I think her name was, Claudia Christian, and the AUD. Alcohol use disorder. And it's sort of been on my mind since I saw it. And then I've seen a couple other videos, and I don't know. I just find it very interesting. It is, you know, how each person that comes to this, you know, crossroads, right, in life, where they talk about, you know, maybe having a AUD, right, an alcohol use disorder. And, you know, everybody's path is different. You know, I really, you know, whatever works. Honestly, it's such a hideous disease, such a hideous time in life. It's so hideous to everybody around us. Whatever somebody can do to quit drinking is, I'm all for it. I am all for it. You know, it's a, I think for me at least, you know, the craziest part, I think, of sobriety is sort of this introduction to, you know, spirituality. And I personally believe that it's a huge part in keeping me sober, right? It's a huge part in finding serenity, which I do believe there are a couple levels of this, right? We have sobriety, and then I do believe there's serenity. And I don't know if a person, maybe they can, I don't know. I don't know if you can just quit drinking and find serenity, right? I just don't know if that's possible. I don't even know if that's what we're looking for, right? It's this, and like the lady said, it's this trying to lose a desire to drink, really. And whatever she's sort of pushing, which, like I said, if it works, it works. But her solution is to basically lose that desire to drink, and which I think is great. I never, you know, it's weird for me. I never, like when I got sober, I didn't have a desire to drink anymore. Like I didn't drive by stores and go, oh my God. You know, I've talked in the past how I missed moments, right? You know, I think about a lot of the fun times that we had. I like I said, I have no regrets. I'm glad I got to do everything I did. I'm sorry, you know, to the people that were affected. I think I've made and cleaned that up, but I had a lot of fun. But when I see a commercial for beer and that small, maybe the half of a beer, right? That first moment with friends, of course I miss that, right? I miss the camaraderie and having fun, but I don't miss the fact that I didn't drink like that anymore. You know, I drank by myself and I had an AUD, I had an alcohol use disorder, and I did it every day, and it was really, really a tough existence. But one of the greatest things that I find is this relationship with a higher power, right? Savior. Temple of the Dog, that album, it takes me back. Remembering that album, when that album came out, I was such a, I mean, that's sort of when Pearl Jam came out, and I remember, you know, it was just so hard to find out things back then, back in those days. It was so hard to, you know, get music or information about a band. You know, I used to read a lot of magazines. I used to spend a lot of time walking through record stores, flipping CDs, right? Lou's Records down in Encinitas, they had the big used CDs, and I would flip through them every day and see what I could find. And, you know, every once in a while you'd find something cool. And I remember when Temple of the Dog came out because, you know, Eddie Vedder was part of the band, right? And it was just crazy. And so love that band, love that song. Good times, good times. But, yeah, you know, it's, I'm not going to make this a whole thing, but, you know, I do find it fascinating. You know, I grew up as a kid, you know, we would go to church. I've shared before, my buddy John, his family was big into church, really liked church. You know, we would go, did a lot of Sunday school, youth groups, you know, going to Sunday church. It was, I mean, I didn't hate it. We did it more for the, coffee, right? We would get some coffee and some cookies and have a lot of fun running around the church and a lot of friends and people, but, you know, never really a relationship with God. And I don't blame that on church. I really just blame it on myself because, you know, it's hard, you know, as a kid and even as a young adult and even as a regular adult, and I've shared, you know, everything I did was trying to serve me, right? What am I getting out of this? And I can remember praying, and I remember just praying, not really asking for anything, but just sort of going through the motions of praying, not really understanding the point, right? You know, I've always thought up until, you know, getting sober and working a program that, you know, everything I did was out to serve me and what am I getting out of this? And so it was the same thing with the relationship with God. And I've, you know, I've talked about this many times. I just didn't find it very rewarding. There wasn't a good return on my relationship with God. And that was fine, right? I mean, I'm a kid. Who knows, right? I didn't need to understand at the time, I guess. And I'm still fascinated by people in their relationships with God and church and stuff like that. And, you know, to each his own, it's all fine. But I cannot tell you how grateful I am to be sober, at least for today. Right, to be free of that demon, that monster that lives inside me. Today, it's at bay, and I'm so grateful for that. But what I've found most interesting is just this higher power thing, right? I've heard about it, I hear about it, and we read about it. Everybody has a different opinion about it. I don't really know what higher power means, right? I don't know what a relationship with God means. I mean, I know what I thought it meant, right? I've said before, you know, God and Santa, right, were really the two things I prayed or, you know, I mean, I guess I'd pray to Santa, dear Santa, right, please give me a bike, right, or a waterbed or whatever it is I was wanting that year for Christmas. I would reach out to Santa, right, and have a mental conversation. The same thing I would do with God. But God never returned anything, so that relationship didn't last, and I sort of walked away from it. There was no, it's not God's fault, right? It's my fault, because I was in a place where I only wanted things, or I only wanted to have relationships with things that gave me things, right? Like, I love my parents. My parents gave us a lot. We were spoiled kids, but when they wouldn't give us something, I'd get mad, right? Screw you. Right? That's how self-centered I was as a kid. And I mean, I wouldn't say that, but I probably thought it in my mind. And so coming to this program and getting sober and starting to understand a relationship sort of with a higher power, sort of with God, right? Not because I had to. It is suggested, right? And I believe, you know, I actually feel like a lot of this is just a byproduct of doing these steps. I feel like if we really put our pencil to the paper, right, our wheel to the ground, and we work these steps really hard with a sponsor and really work through it and come out on the other side, I think we do understand what a relationship with something is. I know I did. You know, started to understand the real problem of my, you know, what got me here was fear and what kind of person that I really am, which is a self-centered person that doesn't have God in his life. And when I started to understand that, all I could focus on was how self-centered I was. Everything I would say, it's almost like torture, right? The curtains are pulled back and you realize, oh my God, I'm sort of a piece of shit. And everything I would say and do and my behavior and my reactions, immediately I would revert back to, is this because you're self-centered? Or how much of you being a self-centered person are we seeing right now? And so it was sort of, you know, I love being sober, but man, some of the shit that I learned about myself was hard to accept. It was pretty surprising and, you know, pretty disappointing, right? I don't know if it could have been any other way. I think we're all sort of born that way, right? I think it's a survival thing. But, you know, I took it to the next level. And so when I started to understand that and then started to feel like when I couldn't get my way, right? Because now that I'm sober, now that I'm aware of it, I couldn't behave that way anymore, right? I can't, you know, with my buddy Matt, move the party. And I was humiliated when he told me, I'm going to move the whole party for you. Give me a break, right? I was absolutely humiliated. And those are one of those moments. And I just was like, oh my God, you are such a self-centered prick, Tom. And now it's all I can think about, right? Somebody sent a comment that, you know, I just sit around and think about myself all day. Part of that is true, right? Part of that is true. It's like I'm constantly self-analyzing. Are you doing this right? What's this about? What's behind this? What's behind that? It's horrible. It's horrible sometimes. But learning how, you know, once I started to, you know, I wasn't told have a relationship with God and see how it works out. I was pretty miserable, and I had to take a look at what a relationship with a higher power really does, right? And, you know, I learned about praying, you know, understanding how to pray. You know, my whole life, the prayer was, dear Lord, I need this. Dear Lord, get me out of that. Dear Lord, I want this. And, you know, that's just a setup for disappointment, right? Because God isn't Amazon, right? We just don't get what we ask for. And so just starting to understand, and then I think someone told me, you know, don't ask for anything. One of the big humbling spiritual sort of things that I heard, and one of the first spiritual sort of things that I started to recognize, the one was when someone said, do something nice for somebody and don't tell anybody about it. And I was like, well, why would you do that? Right? Why would you help out people and not let everybody know what a great person you are and how you're helping? Right? Because that's what self wants me to do, right? Self wants to be boastful. Self wants to be prideful. Self wants to appear to other people like we're something other than what we really are. And, you know, so to do something good for somebody and not say anything, that was unheard of, right? And then, you know, I've shared about this before, you know, the shopping carts. You know, I was a guy that would just leave the cart between the cars. And when I got sober and I started to realize what a shitty move that was, like, you're a shithead for doing that, Tom, by the way. And then I started to take the cart all the way back to the store. Like, I couldn't find, you know, I couldn't just take it back to where it was supposed to go. I had to be better, right? Still out of control, right? Trying to figure it out. But slowly you start to understand. You can have moments where you take the cart all the way back. I don't have any moments where I leave the cart in between the cars anymore because that would eat me up, right? If I did that and drove away, I would, you know, I'd probably have to come back and move it, right? Because that's one of those hard, I know betters. But sometimes I'll take the cart up to the store. Sometimes I put it in the rack, just depending on, but I definitely take care of it. But those were one of those things. And it started to really expose the self-centered side of me. And then I started to understand, there's two sides of me, right? There's a kind of a good side and sort of a bad side, right? The angel on one shoulder and the devil's on the other. And I hadn't really seen that before. I started to find all of this stuff sort of fascinating, right? You know, I'd always heard about prayer. Oh, prayer, yada, yada, yada. I didn't see any results. I didn't see, It was always like, oh, this happened. Well, maybe that was God telling us this. It was always like something would happen, and then we could always somehow shape God into the story. And so to me, it was all sort of wishy-washy. But when I started to really struggle with this battle of self and humility, and then, you know, I talked about the time that when I got involved in that small business thing and it went rogue and I was powerless and I was incensed. I was insane over it. Self was having a freaking tantrum. And that was the first time that I said that prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. And I immediately felt better. Like immediately this heaviness in my heart, this tightness in my chest, this hopelessness, right? This whatever it was that I was being consumed with faded. And then it sort of started to come back. And I said it again, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It was just an act of humility. It was an act of saying, listen, I can't handle this. Whoever's listening. And it brought relief. And I was like, wow, that is crazy. But God never said, hey, I got you. Right? There was never a return message. I think that was one of the other things I had to stop doing was having these expectations of this conversation with God. Right? Maybe some people have it. You know, I could definitely find things that happened in my life and turn them into, you know, oh, this is God telling me this, or oh, this is God telling me that. I could do that. I haven't really have yet to have this conversation with God, but I do have a conversation with myself and work through things that I think are more in the eyes of God, right? You know, I mean, today I'll have situations, you know, especially like in business, I'll have, you know, people call me and they seem, you know, they have expectations that I really don't think I can complete, I guess. They have expectations I don't know if I can fulfill, right? And instead of being, you know, a person that's like, well, I need the money, so I'll just say yes. I say, listen, I don't know if I can do this, right? I try to find humility. Listen, I don't think I can do this, and here's a number of a place that probably can, right? I have, because I can, you know, I know that if I don't, this path could get really, really uncomfortable. Like, more prayers might be needed later on when I say, why'd you even say yes to this, right? And sometimes I do, and sometimes it's fine. Right, but I think about things a little more than I used to back in the day, right? I just was full steam ahead. What looked good must be good. What looks bad must be bad. And today, you know, through building a relationship with whatever it is, some higher power, right? Some supernatural thing that, you know, I've always said humility is self's kryptonite, right? If you are living a humble style life, if you're trying to do if your first thought is trying to find something humble instead of something self-serving, self usually has to sit down. Self's like, okay, right? If, you know, because self's like, we don't need to take the cart. Put the cart right there. They hire people to do this, right? Leave the cart there. It'll save us a few minutes. We could jump in the car. Self, self, self. But when you live a humble life and you automatically take the cart back, self's like, all right. You know, it's sort of, I don't know. It's almost like reeling in self a bit. But I still find it very fascinating, right? I still find it very fascinating. And, you know, when I started to understand that, and then like the third step where it talks about the will and our actions, I started to get that. I was like, wow. And then it started to open up more light to show this lifestyle that I had been living. And now, like I shared the other night about, you know, the third step's a lot like joining, you know, becoming lawful, right? Starting to follow the law, right? When I lived a life not following the law, my life was very fucking crazy, right? Always worried, when's the next shoe going to drop, probation, all that stuff. And when I started to change my lifestyle when I got sober and started to try to do things in a more humble, less selfish manner, I started to reap the rewards. My life started to get better immediately. You know, it's nice not to have to worry about going to jail. It is nice. There is so much shit to worry about these days. You know, I was thinking about the other day, my whole life is fear. Every day is fear. I was working the other day and I'm just kind of constantly have this overwhelming feeling like I hope we're going to make it, right? And now with all the stuff that we hear in the news, it's just crazy. And it's just all fear, all scary stuff. It's a tough existence, man. It is a tough existence. But I still find it very fascinating that as a person that didn't have a relationship with a higher power over time and through, just sort of experimenting. You know, I remember, I'll have stuff that comes up today and it feels overwhelming. And sometimes I just sit in it and deal and feel that anxiety. Or sometimes I'll go, hey, why don't you pray about it? And I'll pray, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And it just relieves me. It's like magic. And I find that crazy, right? I find that crazy. And then I started to understand everything that I think is good really isn't always good, right? Easy money, easy work, cutting the line, all these things that serve self that seem like really great idea, really capitalizing, right, on opportunities, don't always turn out to be good. And some of the toughest, hardest moments in my life have been some of the greatest moments. So I had to start understanding and redefining, what is good and what is bad, right? What is helping and what is hurting? And then it just opens up a lot of stuff. And then all of a sudden the curtain gets pulled back and you're like, wow. And it's pretty cool, right? I still don't have a great relationship with a higher power. To me, a higher power is a product of doing the works of these steps, right? You do the steps and you start to peel back because, I've said it many times, the only thing standing between me and a relationship with a higher power is just fear. And I believe that these steps start to help us remove fear from our lives. And it even says it in the book. It's what started it. When we admit we're powerless, finally the light is on, right? I'm alcoholic and my life is unmanageable. Now we all are aware of it, right? Now we can get help, right? Because I live silently like this. And I wasn't secretly an alcoholic. I had family. We all drank together. It was clear. My dad didn't want me coming over on holidays. Anytime I was drinking hard liquor, he didn't want me around because him and I would always get into some fucking fight. So it was starting to become a problem. But it wasn't a secret, right? But when I finally admitted it, and I really did that in a meeting, right? I didn't have a family get-together where I finally said, all right, I'm admitting I have a drinking problem. We all knew it. I think we all probably had a little drinking problem at the time. But when I finally admitted it was in the group, right, in the program, to myself. And I sort of went right through that step. I sort of put a pin in that one, right? And then we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I had a little trouble with that one, right? And then I made the decision, and I've shared, that one I put a pin in too. But the fourth and the fifth step is really where you start peeling back and exposing really are the real person that we are. And then once we get into the sixth and seventh step, we start identifying these characters of us, right? And start to try to remove our character defects. And then we fine tune it with the shortcomings, right? And then we make amends. If we take everybody we pissed off, everybody that we're afraid of, everybody that we've hurt, and try to make an amends and clean it up legitimately, like really. Like, I really want to get better, and I really want to move past this shit. And we can sit down with some of these people that we've brought so much pain to, right? And we get to make an amends. And we don't have to fear that anymore. Like, I make an amends, with people in the past. I don't have to have that fear anymore. I don't have to worry about that. Right. And if it's legal stuff, we clean it up, whatever we got to do. If we got to go to jail, we're going to have to go to jail. If we got to get a lawyer, we're going to have to pay fines. But we clean it up because then we don't have to be in fear of that either. Right. And then we get to make amends, and then we get to be able to, once we've done all these things, right, then we can handle shit on a daily basis. If something comes up, hopefully due to this process, we've learned to be humble and we say, listen, what's the term? Crow's best eaten warm. I love it, right? I didn't understand what that meant before. And now I absolutely know what it means. Find the humility, make the amends, clean it up. Let's not drag that shit into the next day. We don't have to carry that fear. And once we start having less fear, then I think I became available to start understanding a relationship with a higher power. At least I'm sort of working on a level playing field, right? It was hard to, I never really made an effort to obviously get sober or find serenity or, you know, work these steps and clean up some of this stuff. So I just always was constantly in fear and had zero faith in that I could do it. And then when I finally did it and I've gotten to this point, it's really amazing. But listen, man, it can be torturous too. You know, there's days, you know, I can sit there and just analyze myself over and over and over, and I just get exhausted from it, right? And sometimes I don't want to talk and I don't want to have conversations with people, and I get sort of bound up in myself and, you know, self sort of having a heyday with me, and it's rough, right? And I have to, that's why one of the cool things I remember they say you could start your day over, right? I've done that lately. Lately, I've been slightly tortured, and I don't really know what my damn problem is. A lot going on. You know, this is a tough time. This is a tough time for me this time of year because it's Christmas and the holidays, and a lot of money has to be spent, and I still, you know, struggle with money, and, you know, I don't want to spend any, and I don't like, I just don't like it. It's one part of my life I wish I could make better. I don't even know what a better version of me would look like. Yeah, spend money, it'll all work out, no big deal. Can't live like that. I get really freaked out, and so I live in fear in these months. I will literally, you know, after the first of the year, exhale, because I'll be like, oh, you know, hopefully we can make this, right? And we made it. But it is an absolute tough time for me this time of year, and I don't know if it has to be. I don't know. But I just think it's really, you know, I think the fact that, you know, if I do these steps, I can have this kind of interesting, magical, spiritual relationship, and it looks nothing like what I thought it was going to look like as a kid. It's actually completely different, right? Because I'm not trying to find this from the position of a self-centered person. I'm trying to do it through with humility. And there's something magical when you try to be humble in the first place. You know, I think it's, you know, it feels good. Now you can't tell anybody though, right? You can't say, you know, oh, I held the door for someone. I didn't walk in first, right? And sometimes it's as small as that, right? Just the beginning, holding the door for somebody. You know, I would be, and like, you know, I'd walk through a door and I wouldn't hold it, even wouldn't even hold the door open. The next person behind me would have to grab the handle. I mean, today I see people do that. I'm like, God, that self-centered son of a bitch. So I don't know. I just find it, apparently there's a lot of ways to get sober. And I think if whatever works for a person, do it. But I know for this program, at least, you know, it, putting down the drink is just the beginning, right? It's this path to hopefully finding spirituality. You know, it's just, I think it's absolutely fascinating. It doesn't have to be my whole world, right? I don't have to carry a Bible. I don't have to constantly preach to people. I just get to enjoy this experiment. And it is experiment because there are days where I perform the things that I need to do to help me stay in this spiritual place. And there's days I don't. There's days I absolutely don't and absolutely know it and just suffer with it. And it's crazy. But and even knowing that I can do it and I still don't, it's weird. But it's really cool. And but like I said, if you find something that works, you know, do that. All right, let's see. I was going to maybe read a Daily Reflections, and then I'm gonna go. Thanks for letting me share. I appreciate it. I wonder if this will be about spirituality. Let's see. Daily Reflections for November 8th. An individual adventure. Very cool. Meditation is something which can always be further developed. It has no boundaries, either of width or of height. Aided by such instructions and examples as we can find, it is essentially an individual adventure, something which each one of us works out in his own way. Yeah, exactly. Over time, it's been an adventure. It's been an experiment, right? I'm learning. You know, it's awesome. That was 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 101. My spiritual growth is with God as I understand Him. With Him, I find my true inner self. Daily meditation and prayer strengthening and renew my source of well-being. I receive then the openness to accept all that He has to offer. With God, I have the reassurance that my journey will be as He wants for me and for what I am grateful to have God in my life. Yeah, exactly. What He wants for me, not what I want for me, right? And I think that's, you know, that's where I get stuck in the mud is when it's what I want, right? I have hopes, right? Just as long as the motivation's correct, right? And that's what, you know, that's what like the four step is. You know, I'll do stuff today and I'll look at it and I'll like kind of do a four step and I say, what's this about? Right? I want to buy a hang glider, right? I want to be a hang glider guy. No. Right, I just want to fly high and take cool pictures and be unique, right? I have to kind of peel it apart and figure out, do you really want to hang glide? No. I sort of do a four-step. What's behind it? And, yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. Yeah, spirituality is pretty interesting stuff. And I personally didn't think it even existed. I thought it was a bunch of wish-wash. But I've learned today that if I try to live a humble life and try to identify the battle with self, I can absolutely have an amazing relationship with a higher power. Thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.